Brothers and sisters, today we celebrate one of the holy obligations of the Catholic Church, the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. Although it was formally defined as a doctrine of the Church by Pope Pius IX in 1854, the belief that Mary was prepared to conceive our Savior was almost universally accepted and universally held over the centuries, especially among the Spaniards or the Spanish people, Spanish-speaking, and among the Franciscans. Yet, my dear friends, this title of Mary is not meant for us to worship Mary as equal with her Son. From the Immaculate Conception to the motherhood of Mary, or motherhood of God, every Marian title and doctrine points to Jesus. So when we celebrate all of Mary's feasts, solemnities, and life events, everything we hope, aspire to, and emphasize about Mary actually centers on Jesus. We celebrate today's solemnity not because of Mary, but because of Jesus, by virtue of his saving merits from his future life, death, and resurrection, God prepares Mary and keeps her free from all sin. This is the Immaculate Conception. Imagine someone about to step into an open street hole. Just as she begins to fall, a divine hand appears and catches her, pulling her back to safety. That is God's grace. And in our tradition, we call it prevenient grace. God's initial inspiration before man takes action. Prevenient grace. It was this grace that enabled Mary to say yes to the request delivered by the angel Gabriel that she should consent to be the mother of the incarnate God. My dear friends, doing away with theology. That same grace is not only granted exclusively to Mary, but we also enjoy it. Through the sacraments, we are empowered to become like Jesus in our daily lives. Mary was no different from us. Like her, we are limited. What we have is limited, but that is all we have. When we look at Mary, we see that she knew her limitations, yet she trusted God. Although she is limited, she has God who is limitless. So in humility, she knew her place in the greater scheme of things, and that humility in recognizing her limitations gave her the courage to trust in God, knowing that whatever is lacking, God will fill in. So how do we trust God? We don't need to walk 1,000 miles to prove our trust in God. That's unnecessary and, if not, pointless. What Mary did was trust God and accept her role in salvation's work. Similarly, we are called to do what we're supposed to do, despite our limitations. I remember a story about 4 people named everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was certain that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did. Somehow, somebody got upset about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, and nobody realized that everybody would not do it. In the end, everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have. This common story often plays out in organizations, companies, groups, and teams, a culture of lacking accountability and humility, a failing to admit their weaknesses. Instead of blaming others for our weaknesses, which we heard in the first reading, we should accept our limitations and trust in God to fill in. It is a story of human temptation and sin. And it always happens, but the message stays the same. Always to say no to the evil and yes to God. Did you know that before we called the blame game. We blame anyone. We point our fingers at them to free ourselves of guilt. And in contemporary terms, in the terms of the millennials and the Gen Zs, millennials, I think, we call this gaslighting, a blame-shifting tactic. It is a psychological manipulation that makes someone doubt their own reality, memory, or sanity, causing confusion so that the person who does the gaslighting gains power, control, or favor. When the Lord God called out to the man and asked him, "Where are you?" he replied, "I was naked and afraid, so I hid myself." When God asked who told him so and whether he had eaten the forbidden fruit, the man replied, "The woman whom you put here with me, she gave me the fruit." Blame shifting. The woman was asked and replied, The serpent tricked me to it." It's all about blame shifting to gain control or favor, but without owning up to their weaknesses. My dear friends, sin brings us shame, and so does our human weakness. But let us not shy away from God. Let us not pass the blame to other people. Instead, the more we sin, the more we should move closer to God. We should run towards Him in humility, asking for help. Because if there is one sure thing, it is that God continues to care for us. In the words of St. Paul to the Ephesians in the second reading, we are adopted by God. He will make the impossible possible. The Immaculate Conception was the beginning of this divine and saving plan. And it is Mary's yes, as we heard in the Gospel, that makes it definitive. Because of Mary's humility in trusting God's assurance, we are saved through Jesus. My dear friends, it is not only the Virgin who is blessed. We too are given enough grace to grow in holiness. All we need to do is respond positively to God's gift and act accordingly as we should. There was once a mother I knew back in the Philippines who had to take care of her 5 little yet growing children after her husband left her for another woman. To support herself and her family, she had to work every day while also managing all the responsibilities of caring for her children. She had to wake up very early to get her kids ready for school, rush to work, and take care of the house late at night after her shift. Also, her neighbors spread rumors that she was the reason for her husband left them. Once, she told me she was thinking about leaving the Philippines to work abroad to give her children a better future. But her fears held her back because she was worried her children might be separated or worse, tempted to go astray. To make a long story short, she disproved the rumors, worked 5 times as hard, and raised the children well, who are now earning their college degrees. She apparently intended to sue her husband for an immoral act and get disbarred as a way to teach him a lesson. But she told me, "I know he's caused me a lot of heartache, a deep pain in my heart and my children's, and I am still suffering to this day. But seeing my children graduate from college and start their own lives happy and fulfilled, I realized I did not face this alone. I thank God for always being there with me, guiding me along the way, and leading me to generous and helpful people. What benefit is there in my trying to ruin my husband's life?" Brother and sisters, being immaculately conceived does not mean Mary is free from problems and struggles. She also faced her own shares of troubles and questions. What would other people say? She fled to Egypt for safety reasons, and she suffered silently when her son was on the cross. Yet all these she, as she always does, kept in her heart. Despite various pressures, Mary maintained her trust in God and persevered. I remember one theologian said, "The Holy Spirit gave Mary the strength to make the decision, but her parents' training But her parents' training gave her the wisdom to choose. We hear a lot of reminders to do good, to be good, and to share good from our parents, our teachers, our faith leaders. But have we really and deliberately tried our best to be good, to do good, and to share good? As we continue our celebration, my dear friends, let us remember to acknowledge our weakness and trust in God more. Let us not run away from Him. God makes the impossible possible when we lean on Him, not when we make excuses or blame others. Amen.